Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are coming to you, well, no, not inside Renaissance Bank, but we're in our virtual studio in Alpharetta, and looking forward to getting back over to our home there on Windward Parkway inside the Renaissance Bank office there sometime soon. Just a reminder that while the bank is closed, air quotes, it's actually open for appointment. You can make an appointment and go visit one of the great bankers there at Renaissance. If you've had a problem with impersonal banking lately, go check them out. RenaissanceBank.com. You can find over 200 locations across the Southeast. If you need some recommendations on who to talk to in North Fulton, email me, but go check them out. They've done a great job on some situations I know personally. So I'm speaking from personal experience. RenaissanceBank.com, understanding you, member FDIC. And speaking of Renaissance Bank, we're delighted to welcome Ken Davis, our friend Ken Davis, and he is president of the North Georgia region for community and business banking for Renaissance. Ken, welcome.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that, and I appreciate the little shout out from recognition for Renaissance Bank. I hope too that we get to hear you broadcasting back live in the studio soon. You are correct. We are open for business. We have the drive-throughs available for our customers, and we also have appointments only, but to be made. But whichever way you want to do business, we'll be glad to meet and try to meet their needs. So let's hope one day you'll be back in the studio.
I look forward to that, and I know there's everybody, Matt and everybody over there is working on that. So as you are, so thank you for that, and we look forward to that. But in the meantime, business keeps getting done, and we're on the air, and you're doing banking business, and let's talk about that. So, but for those that don't know Renaissance, that don't know you, maybe you can give a brief introduction to you and to Renaissance and to you. Talk a little bit about Renaissance Bank.
I will, John. Thank you. But before I do that, let me just congratulate you for what you've done and how you serve North Fulton and the business community. I think you recently passed a huge milestone with 250 plus episodes.
Yeah, thank you.
Business Radio.
Thank you.
Congratulations and thanks for what you do for our community.
Thank you.
I was born here in Atlanta, went off to college, came back after a couple of years with Uncle Sam in the Army and started in banking. And have enjoyed being part of different banks that have invested in the communities which I live, work, and play, and that's been fun. I've been with the Renaissance Bank craft for almost 10 years now. Shortly after they came to Georgia back in 2010, so the bank itself was founded 30 years before Elvis Presley's birth. Put Tupelo, Mississippi on the map. That was founded in 1904 as the People's Bank and Trust Company. And over the years, through all of the challenges from the Bankers Panic of 1907, of course, everybody knows and read about the 1929 National Bank Holiday when the economy collapsed, stock market collapsed, and all the economic cycles in between, Renaissance Bank has been true to try to serve the community, all the communities in which it's been located, and since 2010 here in North Georgia. Today we have 30 branches in North Georgia with about $3 billion in assets. Corporately, we're spread out across the Southeast in Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, and Florida.
Well, first of all, Ken, I'm delighted to know that there's history that's tracked before Elvis was born. So that's good to know. But seriously, 3 billion here in the North Georgia area is a pretty good exposure to this market or footprint in this market.
It's a good start. You know, we've done that through a couple of acquisitions along the way over the last 10 years. In addition, we've hired some great bankers that live and work in this community. And together, we're focused on trying to meet the needs of the customers, whether that's a small business owner, consumers, just listening and addressing what their needs are in terms of financial services. Mm-hmm. And it's not always about loans and deposits, but we also offer wealth management, trust services, and investment services for individuals.
So let's talk a little bit about, I want to get to some general questions a little bit later, but I think one thing that's on a lot of folks' minds are some specific issues and topics around PPP and all the various economic recovery-related lending programs that are out there. Talk about your perspective on the PPP program and how that played out at Renaissance, how you had to mobilize folks in the middle of a pandemic when everybody's working at home. Lots of issues around that.
Certainly was. You know, no, we started out 2020 thinking it was going to be another calm year. A little flu season kind of cropped up, we thought, in January. And then all of a sudden, the COVID-19 hits. Stock market goes ballistic. unemployment rises, and we're all faced with a changed economy. And then we're trying to react and meet the needs of our customers by providing not only the tools that we could provide as a bank, but also implementing the tools that were available through the Treasury Department and the SBA. So we recognized in March, end of the first quarter, that some of our customers were going to be impacted by the COVID-19. And so we offered our customers the ability to defer principal, in some cases to defer some interest, and in some cases defer both principal and interest for 90 days. Mm. And so we had to establish the process to do that. And it couldn't be handled just over a phone call and a handshake agreement. Maybe that's what happened back in the 1900s and 1929. But today, we have to document that, and everybody has to sign agreements. And so we offered that to our customers for a 90-day period deferment. Mm-hmm. At the same time, well, the details of the PPP program, the PPP loan program, became available, and we started to implement that program for our customers as well. And there were a lot of fits and starts and frustrations, both from our customer standpoint, from our standpoint, because we couldn't deliver the service we wanted to, only because there was a lot of unknown from the details of the program. So we got through that. We were able to provide the money that the small business owners needed for their payroll purposes and the other purposes in which the program was designed. And, you know, Renaissance funded over 10,000 loan applications representing $1.3 billion under the program. And we were glad to do that because it meant those business owners were able to keep their employees employed. And they were also able to then use that money to support other parts of the economy just to keep it going. As you know, the program has got about $130 billion that remain unclaimed, and the Treasury and Congress today are working on some additional legislation that hopefully by the end of July will steer some of that money through different programs. They hit small businesses that had been hit the hardest by the shutdown. And if those monies become available to banks, we'll be standing right there to figure out how and the best way to get that money to those businesses so that they can continue to thrive as we, get through this economy and try to get on the other side of this COVID-19.
Ken, you talk about not being able to plan ahead for a lot of things there. I think what folks maybe miss, and when I say folks specifically, I'm talking about business owners, entrepreneurs. Not only were you not planning, starting the year, planning to do $1.3 billion in PPP loans. That wasn't in the strategic plan, I think, probably for 2020 is my rough guess, being facetious. But the other thing is, once the pandemic hit and it was the SBA, it was obvious the volume of loans were going to dwarf what they had ever processed in 1 year. They really had to get the banking industry's help in making this happen, right? And so the industry itself, and of course Renaissance as part of that industry, had a lot of work to do in a very short period of time just to be able to take loan number one in the stack of loans you accepted.
You're right. I mean, the objective of the program was to give money to the small business owners under the premise that this money was going to be forgiven because, that's what Congress wrote into law and what the Treasury was communicating to us. So we wanted to make sure that we knew all the expectations that came with signing on for the PPP program, that the business owners were going to need to meet so that they could have their loans forgiven and not at the end of the window have additional debt that they were going to have to serve. And while their business may be back to pre-pandemic conditions, the objective is not to get through the window and have debt, but instead get through the window and not have any more debt than you had before you went into this pandemic situation. So, yeah, we wanted to make sure we were getting the clear instructions from the SBA and the Treasury and that we could interpret that and put it out there for our customers to get the money. And then it's just as important that even when the business owner gets the money, that then they know what documentation is needed as they spend that money. So that when it comes time to apply for the forgiveness of the loan, they've got that information available so that we can review it and make the recommendation back to the SBA that this business and the business owner spent the money as prescribed and it should be forgiven. We want to make sure that it's a win-win for everybody.
So, folks, we're chatting with Ken Davis, and he's with Renaissance Bank, runs the North Georgia region for Renaissance Bank. Ken, let's get a perspective on this $1.3 billion in loans. My notes here say Renaissance is about $14 billion in total assets, and here's $1.3 billion in loans that got processed in 60 to 90 days? That's amazing.
Well, it was a big challenge for us. That $1.3 billion represents about 6 months of production all rolled up into 4 to 6 weeks. So, relatively speaking, that was a big undertaking, but and a lot of bankers in North Georgia, a lot of bankers in the Renaissance footprint spent a lot of hours, not just 9-to-5 banking hours, but a lot of hours making sure that they had the documentation from the customer and we had the documentation from the SBA matched up perfectly, and every T crossed and every I dotted so that we could fund the loan and then ultimately have that loan forgiven. So, yeah, it was a big undertaking. A lot of bankers really stepped up, and it's, I'm proud of the team that did that.
Yeah, because you've got to pull folks in. I'm assuming this is a question, not a statement. You've got to pull folks in that aren't normally on the loan processing team, part of that group, to make this happen, right?
Oh yeah, it took bankers of all types. You know, in that job description, it says the last line of everybody's job descriptions is as duties as assigned. Well, we kind of leveraged that one line there. So you have now been assigned to this team, and everybody willingly rolled up their sleeves with a great attitude and said, just tell me what to do and we'll go do it. So yes, we were using our teams of tellers. We were using our personal bankers. The lending assistants all stepped in, to do whatever was necessary. If it was standing a copier scanning, or if it was getting communications from the customer to make sure we had the right documentation, it was truly a team effort.
There are some, every bank had a little bit different philosophy about how they were going to handle this crush. And it was a crush for every financial institution, right? But some decided to accept applications only from existing customers, maybe some from existing only loan customers. Talk about the Renasant philosophy on accepting PPP applications and why you decided on what you did.
Well, we didn't create a pecking order or a priority order. We were in conversations with our customers all along, again, because we recognized that the economy was changing and shifting, and some of our customers may need some assistance. So we were in conversation about the deferral options. And when this PPP became available, of course, we started the conversations with them. But if we did have occasions where some prospects for us, they weren't customers, approached us, because either they'd heard through word of mouth in the community, or maybe a referral from centers of influence and accounting firms, law firms, that we were processing applications. We would meet with those individuals. We would communicate via email what the expectations were, and we would line them up like everybody else and process them as we received them. We weren't playing favorites. We were saying there's a business owner and a company in need, and let's see what we can do to help meet that need.
And I know you didn't, I know this firsthand from some folks that I sent your way, you didn't have any requirement for bringing a deposit relationship or bringing any other there was no quid pro quo that you required, but talk about what, I guess, your hopes are. You would hope that folks deepen the relationship with the bank as time goes on, I would think.
Well, sure. I mean, we're not selling a product of the day, or we're not trying to tie services together to say, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. But we think if we can meet the needs of that customer and prove that we can operate in a professional, courteous manner and meet their needs and with our products and services, that relationship piece goes a long way. Mm-hmm. And it's not always based on price, but when you have a need and you have a banker sitting across the table from you that can listen, identify what the need is, and more importantly, identify the right product. That's what we're striving for. Mm-hmm. And we want that customer experience to be the best, so that when they walk out, whether we were able to fulfill that need or not, it was an experience that said, well, I'll come back and do more business or additional business with this bank because of the experience that they had. But yeah, that's what we were striving for, really, just to meet the need without any strings attached.
Folks, we're speaking with Ken Davis, and Ken he runs the North Georgia region for community and business banking for Renaissance Bank. Ken, talk about the forgiveness piece of this and what advice you're giving to business owners as they navigate the forgiveness process.
Well, as I said earlier, we're all bankers are really have now turned their attention on understanding this forgiveness process. We're all awaiting guidance from the Treasury and the SBA in terms of what they're going to require. They did change the application to have an easy and a regular form to use for that process, but there's still a lot of detail that the banks are waiting on in order to give that clear guidance as to what's needed to demonstrate how the business owner spent their loan proceeds. The one advice I think all bankers would share with their business owners is keep tremendous records of where you spent the money, how you spent the money. We did not recommend this, but we had business owners that wanted to open up a separate checking account in which to fund the loan proceeds and then to show where the money went. They funded things out of that particular checking account specific to Triple P approved expenditures and processes. So wasn't required, but some just wanted that extra step of clarity and documentation. So, it can be some under the program, you can have an 8-week window, or I believe it's a 24-week window from the spending of that money. But regardless, documentation is the critical and key part of the process at this point. And then as we begin to get information from the SBA that we can share with our customers and with our Triple P borrowers, we're going to be passing that information all along to them, not sitting on it, because we want them to have the information so they can begin the process, whatever that may look like.
And what folks need to think about is the fact that, the rules have changed on PPP, I don't know, 3 or 4 dozen times. I mean, I'm being a little bit facetious, maybe a lot facetious, but I mean, the point is that things have changed several times in midstream, and you need to be in touch with your banker on exactly where things stand on the forgiveness process too.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right. And know that your bankers are, as soon as they get clarity, we're going to pass that information on.
Sure, sure. But know things, whatever information you have in your hands, it may change as time goes on, and that's an SBA thing. That's not a bank thing, right? So,
right,
yeah,
right. Exactly. Well, I mean, we had the SBA Triple P loan application change at least twice in the process, about three times, and now we've had the forgiveness application change once. So, yeah, we can expect change.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Let's talk a little bit more generally about what you see in the North Georgia economy. I mean, we're here in the northern arc of Atlanta, but what are you seeing anecdotally out there in terms of what's going on in this particular economy?
Yeah, that's a great question, John. I mean, I think the economy is doing well from a macro perspective. I mean, there's there's still loan demand out there on the consumers and small business owners for things outside of the triple P. There's still businesses that need to produce a product and need working capital for that need. There may be new equipment financing needs as well out there. Atlanta is a has been impacted certainly with the decline in the tourism and hospitality industry, but that's beginning to pick up a little bit. Some of the with the governor's changing of the rules, some of the hotels are opening back up. So it's a little better than it was. We haven't seen many defaults in terms of the customers, consumers, and small business defaulting. Some of them did take deferments, but then there was a big chunk of individuals and small businesses that did not. But then they were able to continue to making their monthly payment. For the most part, I think mortgage payments on the whole have continued to be made during this pandemic period. So, and there, you know, there is still some pent-up demand for deals that were pending before COVID-19. I think they're still out there with real estate developers and others that want to pull the trigger, but they're still waiting a little bit longer just to see where the COVID-19 numbers are headed, and just with the summer months and if school's coming back, just kind of what all of that is going to look like in another 30 or 60 days. So overall, I think our economy has fared pretty well.
Talk about your part of the bank. I mean, you run the community and business banking part of Renaissance, the North Georgia part of that part of the company. Anyway, what is that? Define what that is. I mean, what, in other words, I guess another way to say it is, what's a good customer for you and your bankers?
Well, that's a great question. How about a customer who, we have that relationship with that we can understand and their financial needs and match their need with our product. Within that commercial lending community and business banking function, we don't really define it by revenue size and have our boxes so tight that if you fall outside this box that you have to go to a different group because from a risk management standpoint. What we try to emphasize really is that relationship piece and understand the business. So we've got companies being banked in my group that may be running from $750,000 in revenue all the way up to $75 or $100 million revenue, just depending on the type of industry it's in. And we don't have many at that level. And if we have companies that exceed that, certainly within the Renaissance footprint and here within North Georgia and Atlanta, we have a different banking group that has a skill set to meet the needs of those companies as well. And we have bankers that have been calling on those type of companies and understanding their needs. So our group is really relationship driven. We're generalist, if you will. And if we need the assistance of a specialist like an equipment leasing individual or an asset-based monitoring type facility, we have those partners within the bank that we can partner up and still maintain that relationship. Our bankers don't pass off their customers to somebody else just because they don't fit a box. But we bring them in and we partner up with them. And that includes treasury management services as well. A small business may have a simple treasury need that we have treasury management specialists for that. And then there are other companies that need a full gamut of treasury services that we have available, and we can implement those to meet the business needs.
Mm, gotcha. You're a one part of an out-of-state headquartered bank. How have you maintained the personal connection with your customers? I mean, how have you been able to maintain the kind of personal-oriented banking that you're known for?
Well, I think because our bankers are involved in their communities, we're not just coming into the office from 9 to 5, but we're trying to invest in the communities in which we have branches and locations, but in communities in which we live as well, and the communities in which we play. A lot of our bankers serve on the boards of nonprofits and different organizations that give back to the communities. And then corporately, we're also allocating dollars to certain needs and certain nonprofits in particular, you know, giving to food banks today, given the challenges that they face. We've made corporate donations to local food banks and to help their needs. So, you know, and it's that kind of involvement, both of time and resources, that we want to make and our bankers enjoy making. So, you know, that again goes back to that relationship piece and not just a job of 9 to 5, but instead investing in the communities. We're trying to hire individuals that are in those communities. Mm-hmm. And so that they can become involved and serve on those boards. Mm.
Great work from Ken Davis and his team at Renaissance Bank. Ken is the head of the North Georgia region for community and business banking. Ken, this has been great. I guess what I'd like to end with is, first of all, I want to make sure people can get in touch with you. But before we get to that, what advice would you give business owners as they're looking ahead? Because there's lots of cross currents of opinion, probably too much of that. But you know, but folks that have a lot of looking at their business, looking at an economy that's been certainly on a seesaw, a roller coaster, what have you. What as they look ahead, what advice would you give? As you talk to your business owner clients, what are you telling them in terms of what they should be doing to navigate this current environment?
Well, much like our family lives, John, communication is critical. Mm. And so I would say from the relationship between a banker and the business owner, communication is the critical part. Whether it's good news or bad news, keeping the banker informed and the banker keeping the business owner informed are probably the most important part that can be done. Because if there's no communication, nobody knows how to react or what to react when they're presented with a situation. But if there's communication all along and there's a conversation going about the different scenarios, then there can be some planning ahead and some risk mitigation taken, or even identifying potential risk and talking about the cost of that risk mitigation or the cost of not mitigating that risk, and having that open dialogue so you can plan ahead. And it may result in additional credit being extended, or it may result in maybe there's no need for additional credit to be extended, but instead doing a few things differently and with the existing indebtedness. So there are a lot of options available when you communicate and kind of lay out different scenarios and are open about the conversation and saying, let's talk about this so we can come up with a plan that's mutually beneficial to both the owner and the business or and the banker, so that we can continue that relationship long past this current crisis.
Good words from Ken Davis, Renaissance Bank. Ken, for those that have heard something that makes them want to be in touch, tell them how they can do that.
Thank you, John. Sure. My email address is kdavis@renaissant.com, and my cell phone number is 678-832-9876, and I'll be more than glad to take a phone call and have a conversation and just see where it goes from there.
Ken, it's a pleasure. Thanks. Appreciate you, pal.
John, thank you. Appreciate our friendship.
Absolutely. Thank you. Folks, just a reminder that if you've got some headaches that involve bookkeeping or maybe you've got some administrative tasks that need to get done, maybe you got to get those books cleaned up to get the PPP loan documentation done right. Well, I've got a good answer for you, and that involves calling S.E. Escobedo over at Office Angels, 770-442-9246. Now, here's the deal with S.E. She and her angels have been operating virtually for 18 years, so they're used to the current environment we're in. And what S.E. does is try to understand what your problem is, and she matches you up with an angel that can take care of your business support needs. So they fly in, get the job done, and fly out, and you're all the better for it. So give her a call. OfficeAngels.us is the website. 770-442-9246 is her phone number. And, folks, just another quick reminder before we close for today that you can find this show on all the major podcast platforms. That would be Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify. I could go on and on, but you can find us pretty much anywhere by searching North Fulton Business Radio. And, of course, you can find us on northfultonbusinessradio.com, where you can find our full archive of shows. Again, we did just pass the 250 mark, and we're excited about that. But we've got quite an archive of business leaders there, and we would love it if you would go subscribe with your favorite podcast app. Give us a great review, because when you do that, other people find the show, and they find and can listen to all these business leaders we've had and get the benefit of that. And it helps those businesses, and that's what we're here for. We're on social media, of course, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter at North Fulton BRX. So for my guest, Ken Davis, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.